Medical and recreational marijuana is a maturing market, especially in California. This week on Techonomics, host Jason Middleton talks with a marijuana beat reporter about the state of the industry, from cancer patients to afternoon high tea. The marijuana market discussion is now.
Hello, and thanks again for listening. The marijuana industry in California has had 20 years to mature following the legalization of medical marijuana. Next year, California expands that industry and market opportunities to include recreational marijuana. On this week's show, we have a marijuana beat reporter in to not only point us to the state of the marijuana industry at present, but also what's in the pipeline when it comes to new products, delivery systems, and dispensaries. We have two parts to this interview, and here's the first one.
Scott Lucas, contributing writer, San Francisco Magazine.
Scott, thank you for coming into the studio. You've been writing about marijuana and the marijuana industry for a while, and I'm a little bit familiar with it. But when we asked you to come in, it was because of an article you had in San Francisco Magazine, right? And it had to do with the luxury side of it. And there are a lot of angles to this. So let's talk a little bit first about the luxury angle and how you came to that story.
So as cannabis sort of becomes normalized, is one way to look at it, it becomes legal in California for recreational use. This is a hack phrase to say, but the green rush of people, entrepreneurs coming into the space trying to find product that will appeal to a larger segment of the audience beyond sort of the typical stoner. The best analogy I can come up with, although they don't always love it when I say this, is that it's the search for the white Zen equivalent.
Right? I'm of a certain age when I remember when my parents had white Zen a lot. There were a lot of pink wine around at parties in the 70s. But I can see what you mean. Like mainstreaming to an extent, I guess not disturbing to the palate. You know, you're not going with the old vine Zen and you're not going with an unoaked Chardonnay. Down the middle of the road.
Down the middle of the road, simple. I think the big thing is that the cannabis sector is incredibly knowledgeable and almost too knowledgeable for its own good. When you go into a dispensary or you talk to your friend who has a connection, you've got to know a lot about marijuana to really get into it. That's great for a lot of people. It's great for people who are more experienced. For people like me who tried a little bit of stems and seeds in college and said, this is fine, but whatever, it's intimidating. Cost of entry, the barrier to entry is pretty high.
I see what you mean, yes.
White Zin, that's an easy wine to get into. And so there's the look now is for the equivalent for marijuana.
It's funny you say that because I was just thinking, like, you're right. There's a lot of homework that comes with this, or it used to be.
Still is.
You had to know your sativas from your Alaska Thunder and your L.A. Confidentials and all the different strains and brands, right? I mean, and I was always told as well that this marijuana that's being grown, this cannabis that's being grown is much more potent.
That's right.
Than it used to be as well. So you really should be educated on a very health level.
Right? You should be. There's no question about it. The question is, can you make a product that wraps all that up and presents it to the consumer in a pretty easy to understand way? You know, one of the equivalents I think of is alcohol doesn't sell itself based on potency. Outside of Four Loko and, vodka, certain segments.
Smirnoff 100.
Smirnoff 100, exactly. Yeah. You don't buy a bottle of wine that advertises itself as, this will get you trashed, man.
That's true.
Similar to marijuana. A lot of it is presented as, this is the highest potency. This is the best stuff. Consumers maybe are not looking for that. They might actually want a lower, what you call functional dose. And that's what a lot of these companies are looking for right now, trying to figure out how they do that.
If we stick to your white Zen analogy, okay, you've already kind of elevated the conversation to a marketing conversation. Now we're talking about positioning and going to market with cannabis. And you've mentioned products three times now.
That's right.
So let's talk about that a little bit because, because they are starting to segment, and they're trying to find some niches, some market opportunities within this rather large and growing industry.
That's right.
Now that I've teed you up, I know you have a story coming out next month in the magazine in July, so let's talk about that. Tell me about your experience in Palo Alto.
So I went down to a woman's house right off Sand Hill Road, right by the Stanford campus, by the Stanford Linear Accelerator, about a month ago. She's a housewife woman, very accomplished, very smart, nice ranch house, and they were having a tea party. They dressed up in fancy vintage dresses, put on big hats, and sipped tea out of beautiful matching china in the backyard. Except the tea was not normal tea. It was marijuana laced. It was cannabis laced tea. The company is called Kikoko, K-I-K-O-K-O.
Okay.
It's run by founded by two women, middle-aged women, who are very accomplished. One used to be a travel journalist for the LA Times for like 20 years.
Mm-hmm.
So there's light at the end of the tunnel for us journalists out there.
Yeah, right. We don't have to sell out and be marketers.
That's right. We can get into the drug business. And their deal is they sell a line of four different teas, which are water-soluble, which contain, in addition to herbs, spices, teas, that kind of normal thing, marijuana, cannabis extract.
Mm-hmm.
And they're marketed to middle-aged women who are looking for functional doses, pain relief maybe,
right.
Mood enhancement.
Stress relief.
And the big one is a libido-enhancing
Hello.
Tea. Hello. So you can imagine me, a 30-year-old guy, going in. I was pretty much the only guy in the room there. And a bunch of women, cougars, drinking sex tea.
Right. Slamming the sex tea.
I had a lot of fun there.
I bet you did.
My wife was not happy that I went. But,
yeah.
You know,
right.
Sometimes we make sacrifices for journalism. Kikoko is now becoming more and more available in sort of the high-end dispensaries around town. And it's marketing itself, it's productizing itself specifically to that segment of the market. So people who are coming from yoga class, between yoga class and picking up their kids from clarinet lesson, they
right.
might need some tea. And this is going to them. So it's not overly, doesn't have any of that stoner culture associated with it. You're
right,
not seeing Cheech and Chong involved with it. It doesn't have...
You don't get very, very many Victorian hats with stoner culture.
You don't.
Generally. Maybe a Jack in the Box Maybe. Like 3 in the morning. That's about the only time. That's speaking of stereotype.
That's true, right? And it's not marketed, it's not presented as this strain or that strain.
Uh-huh.
This is the tea. This is what it tastes like. These are what the ingredients are.
Right.
We've sourced the detail I always love is they got really obsessed with finding tea bags that didn't have bleach in them. Most tea bags are bleached.
Yes.
And the founders of Kikoko, Amanda Jones and Jen Chapin, were convinced that they didn't want bleach in it. So they had to go all the way to Japan to find some special kind of yarn or something to do it. And that gives you a sense of the kind of segment of the market that they're looking for.
It's exactly.
People who are going to pay attention to the bleach used in their tea bags.
Absolutely.
It's a totally different kind of person.
How many Whole Foods bags did you see in their kitchen, right?
Many.
That's what I'm saying. Like, that's the segment. When you get your sun basket every Wednesday and you're concerned that the box is too big.
There you go.
That's the kind of consumer we're talking about. I have a quick anecdote for you.
Yeah.
I also have a friend who's a middle-aged housewife, accomplished, incredibly smart, but is now a housewife
mm-hmm.
and raising her two children. And she started in the cannabis industry with a delivery service.
There you go.
Now she does tinctures, and she is partnered with a PhD from Stanford who is a research scientist, like a tenured research scientist. So this is not just about findings of the pinky out tea sippers. There are also some other applications here. Are you seeing that this segment is kind of drifting up? Is it disposable income mostly up here, or is it more maintenance, or is it both? Are we bifurcated now where we have the medical marijuana stream and then we have the leisure?
Bifurcated. I think that's definitely the case in other states, Colorado being the good example that are further down the legalization path than
right.
California is.
Right.
Two different market segments. You have the medical consumers who are very well educated, very looking for a very specific product because they're looking for medical products.
Mm-hmm.
It's a different kind of market.
Sure. Okay. Different need.
And a different approach. Then you have the recreational consumers who are looking for something that could even be the same product, but is presented in much a different way.
Mm-hmm.
Totally different kind
more
of
marketing.
Thing. Marketing, but also a lot more to it. You know, what the thing is can be very different. The form factor can be different.
Right.
So teas is an example of that. Vape pens or other.
Sure.
So one that's a good example is Somatics. It's a new company they partnered with Ritual Coffee to make a marijuana-infused coffee.
Mm-hmm.
And you can get a glass of cold brew, basically,
mm-hmm.
in a glass jar, and it's Ritual cold brew coffee that just so happens has cannabis
right.
in it. And that's a really cool product. I tried that out a couple weeks ago.
How does that work? Do you get the jitters and then you get something else, or
That's what I was worried about. I was worried that I would get the jitters and then get the couch lock, basically. But
right.
they used the right kind of strain of marijuana in this that you get a creative high. The idea is that the bottle has marks on it, four marks down the side, and that sort of gives you a sense of how much you're dosing yourself
with. I see. Okay.
Then you pour a certain amount of that into your morning coffee or evening coffee.
Ah, okay.
That's at least how I did it.
Half and half
would be a lot, actually.
Yeah.
It's a pretty strong stuff. I treated it more like an extract, additive extract than the coffee in itself.
Right.
But it's good coffee on its own. It's Ritual. It tastes good.
Right.
It's good cold brew. And it's got this sort of bonus oomph to it.
And there's nothing more Bay Area than that product you just described.
No, it's really...
I mean, really.
Oh, yeah.
That was Scott Lucas. He covers the business of marijuana for San Francisco Magazine. For links to his recent articles and other marijuana industry resources, check out kgoradio.com/techonomics. Just look for the article that accompanies this week's show. You can also get podcast links there. I'm Jason Middleton, and this is Techonomics.